Reality by Design, a Chris Media production here on thatchannel.com. My name is Mark Bucator, and I'm sitting here with John Hawkins.
And my name is John Hawkins, and I'm sitting here with Serge Grandbois.
And I'm Serge Grandbois, sitting here with Mark and John. Moving on.
Moving on, same jokes.
Oh, we've got an exciting show tonight, though, folks.
Yes, we do.
One of our guest speakers.
Our good friend Paul Helfrick, Johnnie will be with us, and of course we're going to have Alan shortly. That's coming soon.
Alan must be short because he's always shortly.
And yes. Stop calling me Shirley.
I'm quite looking forward to this because Paul has always got a unique and interesting perspective, and I think that he's going to be able to I don't want to speak for him, but it's has every possibility. And, of course, Rose, his wife.
Joanne, yeah.
Joanne, sorry.
Channels Rose, yes. Paul's been interconnected with channeling for a long time now. He's done a lot of work, written books, and a lot of research and a lot of presentations.
He put the whole Elias website together.
Yeah, both of them. And he's done a lot of work, and this brain mapping that we did with Dr. Lewis, Paul is involved with similar type stuff, and he'll talk about that a little bit, I believe. And I believe he's got some questions for Chris. And Paul's work. I put up on the Chris Chronicles forum, as well as the New World View forum, links to some of Paul's work in the libraries on the newworldview.com site. And if people want to check out some of those things, it's there. So, yeah, that's going to be great.
Now, I have to confess to you, Mark, that I downloaded the PowerPoint presentation.
Yep.
And I went through it. And I'm almost sorry I did. I feel like I know less now than I did. Yeah. Tremendous layers of meaning in there, and I look forward to some clarification this evening.
While we're waiting for Alan, I just want to mention that we have a Toronto workshop coming up in June 13th and 14th, and I lost it. Okay, Your Highest Enlightenment, The True Meaning of Ascension. It's at the Ramada Plaza Hotel in downtown Toronto, where we've held the Lotus Mind. And we're looking forward to that. CMI 3 has started.
Yeah.
With a doozy. Wow, that was an amazing two-hour session.
Yes, it was.
Or just a little break I think you guys had, huh?
35 seconds. Yeah, that was a
very small break.
But yeah. You know what I was impressed by was the 8-page piece that was sent out prior to the session.
Yeah.
Written by our friend over here.
It was
a collaborative effort, I believe.
Yes.
But my friend Myrna, I told her a little bit about some of the material we're covering, and she said, "John, how much are you paying for this course?" She said she knows therapists who devoted years and many, many tens of thousands of dollars to get the same kind of education that we're getting here. Just a little promo there.
That Chris and Serge put out in an 8-page report.
I know.
Yeah. But I love the way he went through the document and expanded upon it. And that was neat. It was well done. Are you on, Alan? Technical difficulties. So how was your day, John?
I've had a lovely day. What's going on in my life these days? Well, actually, I'll share with the gang what I had been saying to you guys, and that is that I think a lot of the thinking that I have been doing in the last few years about where I want to take my life has really been based on some very old technology. I'm talking about business plans and to-do lists and you know, plan your work and then work your plan and all that.
The kind 1 minute manager. And
all that stuff, right? Well, what I think that that puts a premium on existing structures and fitting into existing structures.
Mm, yeah.
Now, we're entering a world where existing structures, hello, look at the financial structures. We're entering a world where the premium is not on fitting into existing structures, but the premium is on spontaneously responding in the moment to new opportunities.
Welcome to HighDefConferencing.com. For a menu of available commands, press star 1. There are 2 participants in the conference.
Oh, well, same damn routine. There we go.
Hi, Alan.
Hey, now we're now we're cooking.
We can hear you swearing.
Hello, you know, you can imagine me swearing, but you're not hearing it.
It's better in the imagination.
much better, believe me.
Well, if you need practice, call me.
Let me jump right in here because we've lost a little bit of time, and I'm sure everybody knows by now that Paul from NewWorldView.com, which most people know him from and which he administers, is the guest tonight. Fewer people may know that he's taught music theory, history, and composition at Temple University and has a Ph.D. He's developed science exhibits for the Franklin Institute of Science Museum. He currently is a music publisher through his Wildfire Media. But I probably, the most important thing for why we're all here is his development of this integral conscious creation idea, which is a modeling of human consciousness. And I think as well, it's a fair statement to say it's an expansion on the work of Ken Wilber. Paul, as most everybody knows, is from Castaic, California, and most people would recognize him as Janaki. So, Paul, if by good grace you're still on the line.
I am, Alan. Thank you for that nice introduction. Hi, everybody. How are you today?
Good. Welcome aboard.
So, what shall we talk about?
How's Joe's cooking?
It's still delicious.
I'll give her still regards. Delicious. Our regards.
I certainly
actually
will.
Ellen says you're not from Castaic. You're from the great northeast of Philadelphia.
That's right. Originally from the great northeast of Philadelphia, but recently of Castaic, the last 12 years.
Paul, you and I were talking the other day, particularly about some of the work that Alan Lewis had done, and he was on previously. And you see his particular kind of work with Chris as one more of the steps that you're kind of involved in from the integral consciousness point of view. And maybe you could start out by kind of commenting on your take on what you saw of Dr. Lewis's work. And how you think that fits into the whole integral theory field?
Sure. Let me just preface my comments by saying that I have a paper that's going to be published in an academic journal, the Journal of Integral Theory and Practice. So that's very exciting, and it's in peer review right now. And it is based on the work of Ken Wilber, but it's also based on the work of many other scholars like John Klimo, Arthur Hastings, Michael Brown, who've done research on channeling. And what Ken Wilber's theory does, it allows us to integrate all of these things and take an integral approach or do integral research on any topic we wish. In my case, of course, I am in love with and have been studying channeling for the last 12 years full time. And so Dr. Lewis's work is very interesting because it's brain mapping. And it fits in just like that. We need to get brain maps of channelers because we need to see the workings of their brains. And in fact, one of the most important things that brain mapping can do is help legitimize research on channeling because it will give empirical evidence. That's only one of the 4 basic methodological approaches that we use, but it's the kind of thing that makes it real in consensus reality, the official line of consciousness out there. So this paper outlines my big theory, which is treating channeling as a multiple intelligence, just like we have different intelligences like speaking, emotions, morals, music, art, and whatnot. I believe that channeling is its own intelligence. So the type of research that I'm speculating about in this paper is just that. And I've outlined a research, elaborate research model on how to look at channeling and start to do that. So Dr. Lewis's research is very important. And it was interesting to see because it shows the painstaking methodologies that are involved in that type of research, setting up the equipment, getting accurate readings, and as he said, interpreting the data thereafter. So there's this entire process there. And what was interesting is that we have Serge sitting quietly and not speaking, which I know took great, great discipline, and as it would any of us, and also Chris sitting there not speaking. And that's just the baseline. What I would want to see with Dr. Lewis's research, too, in a theoretical case study that I would be involved with, would be to increase that to, of course, Serge speaking, then Chris speaking, and then speaking with a group, because in the real world, and this is where integral methodology is very good because it covers all of that. It takes, the lab is important, but the real world is important as well, and we try to get research done there to see how it's functioning, if it's possible to do accurate brain mapping during a Chris session, for example, get that database. And then let's take Serge and Chris and multiply them times 100 people. So let's get Ellen in there, and let's get Emmy in there, and Joanne, and all the others that we know are channeling in their own ways, and get a baseline of them in their normal waking consciousness and build up a database over 5 to 10 years of that sort of information, and then add to that their channeled sources and build up a database of, in Dr. Lewis's case, brain maps. What the integral approach, the methodology would allow us to do is add a whole bunch of other researchers to this. So part of what I outline is to create a collaborative, a consortium, an integral research consortium dedicated to channeling that then would subcontract out to someone like Dr. Lewis to a series of other scholars that do complementary research. For example, what would complement Dr. Lewis's research, since that's a brain map, that's an exterior, that's physical stuff, quantum fields, what would complement that would be research on the interiors. In Serge, for example, it would have been nice to have had him over the last 30 years looking at his interior development as the Chris phenomenon unfolded in him. And one of the methodologies that they use, just as a complement, is sentence completion tests. And they have something like 150, 80 questions in different questionnaire formats, and you simply fill them out. And the researchers, the group, interprets them, and then they do this repeatedly over time. And as your answers change to these questions, the interior structures emerge. So this is another, what we call true but partial, way of looking at the phenomenon of channeling. And so as that would build up over time, the idea of my research proposal would help to legitimize the channeling phenomenon, make it real. And a good example there is that dreaming was considered temporary insanity, unreal, unimportant, have nothing to do as far as modern science went until they were able to do what Dr. Lewis is doing and map rapid eye movement sleep, REM sleep. And suddenly dreams were real because they had physical data to support that. And in the same way, if we can get this whole other database with channeling involved, a sociological, other developmental intelligence data as well as brain maps, suddenly it becomes real in people's minds, and then the practical outcomes, like the wonderful work you're all doing in the Consciousness Mentoring Institute, and I know you have your first cohort graduating later this year, you're on phase three, and this is another thing that the research would attempt to follow from a sociological perspective then. The group, the social group that's involved with each channeler to a small degree, and see what's involved with that and look at various sociological things within the group to get more data. And that's another way then to sell and pitch to funding sources practical outcomes of why we want to teach people how to channel and then how to develop their channeling and, accelerate the process. So how's that?
Now, if we may be allowed to step in, as it were, and firstly to greet Janaki.
Hello, old friend.
Indeed. We have a few small observations. Firstly, that you have very nicely alluded to important developmental factors. As such, it could be said that human beings have been on the cusp of these developmental leaps in higher intelligence for quite some time. But you also have the factors of fear that can dampen the flames to such a degree that there is often then a repercussion, as has occurred many times in your historical past, when great literal quantum leaps of awareness are about to take birth. You may have repressive elements that come to the surface and more or less put the kibosh on the whole deal. However, this cannot and will not prevent the evolution from taking place. You are now poised in your present world, in your present society, in such a way that there are openings of awareness, sufficient openings of awareness, to be able to take the phenomenon of the evolution of human intelligence and present it as a non-threatening but actually beneficial aspect of ordinary life, though it may not necessarily be so ordinary as it were. So you have already been skating on that ice. Do you follow?
Yes, certainly.
It will become more and more evident that what your species thinks it knows about human development and various stages of that development and what actually is occurring in those stages of development are two entirely different things. You may be able to know how a child takes blocks at preschool and is able to pile them together. But that does not signify yet that the child is able to formulate sentences or even words with the blocks, though there might be an occasional one. But this gives you an idea of the potential involved with the child and his or her abilities. Do you follow?
Yes.
So this is a great step forward, so much so that even though both sides of the equation, the traditional empiricists and those who consider themselves anti-empiricists, those who consider themselves all for spontaneity and faith in consciousness, both may see their pretty sandcastles slowly eaten away by the incoming tide, because something new and something different is about to manifest itself. As we have suggested in the past, when you hear footsteps down the hallway, it means someone is coming near you. So you are able to detect the footsteps of consciousness down the hallway. Does that make sense to you?
Yes.
So please, follow through on your ideas.
Just to comment on your comments, Chris, of course, managing the fear of change is what the larger politics of the integral research movement have to contend with. And we just held the first biennial Integral Theory Conference last August in California at JFK University, and it will be every other year. So this is just getting off the ground, just on the horizon. And it's a wonderful community of about 500 to 600 scholars who come at all different angles and all different disciplines who are working together. So there's baby steps. Those are the footsteps in the hall that you refer to. And the other comment I wanted to make was that in a general way then, how to alleviate the fear. Of course, you need a deliverable, a product, an outcome that shows great benefit to one and all to free up funding and dollars in large amounts. We're talking millions of dollars for funding research here. What we're looking at in terms of channeling, since that gets into the occult and woo-woo and suddenly you're just flung in the same category as Jerry Falwell and Rush Limbaugh as fundamentalist idiots, that really what we're looking at here from a postmodern perspective is the nature of human creativity, the creative impulse, that divine spark that drives all that is. And so using creativity and the study of creativity is one way to make that a little bit more palatable to the general public. And the other thing, and this is from Dr. Joyce Kovelman, who's was introduced to me by Serge several years ago. She has a PhD in psychology, which is the interiors, and neuroscience, which is the exteriors, the brain maps. So she has a wonderful integral view on this that she understands from her research on schizophrenia that she did, that there's a healthy form of dissociation, and this is something she'll be able to talk about in greater detail than I can. But what we're looking at with the channeling phenomenon, besides the innate creative impulse, human impulse in action, is a healthy type of dissociative personality condition or state. And does that state then develop in state stages, or does it develop in structural stages like other intelligences? And again, these are just ways of looking at it, so that then those like Mark and John and Serge as teachers in the Consciousness Mentoring Institute can help accelerate and facilitate the teaching of that intelligence, along with everything else you guys are doing, like dreaming and all the other wonderful things you're up to.
Indeed, we might even go so far as to say that our work in the Consciousness Mentoring Institute, especially with the course on aspect therapy, continuing Jane Roberts' initial ideas about aspect psychology, fits in very nicely with this entire theme, and we can answer that the development fits both camps in stages and otherwise. They are complementary, and the entire process of dissociative states is an entirely human process. It is the continual flow of consciousness. All human beings enter or go in and out of various altered states on a continuous daily basis. How to take advantage of these natural innate qualities is another matter entirely. And it can be utilized in the most destructive fashion, and it can be utilized in the most complementary and beneficial manner. The point is that this innate intelligence, literally the higher intelligence, has been in its cocoon, awaiting metamorphosis for some time. And this is a natural process. It is not to be rushed. It will occur in its own time. It will undergo its own phases and stages, but it will take birth. It is unavoidable, just like any other civilization, human, humanoid, or otherwise, goes through its various periods of renaissance and other stages. Do you follow?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So you are now in one prolonged cycle, but it is indeed well worth the endeavor.
Amen. Certainly what we've dedicated our lives to here in Castaic, and of course working with all of our good friends in the Chris Chronicles and elsewhere.
You know, speaking of a healthy type of dissociation, I'm wondering if you guys want to take a break at this time.
Now would probably be a good time.
Sounds good.
This one's called Any Day.
Welcome back to Reality by Design, a Chris Media production here on thatchannel.com. We've been speaking with Chris and our guest, Paul Helfrich, down in California from newworldview.com. Welcome back.
Hi, guys.
Great conversation. I'm loving this. I'm especially loving that I can sit back and just listen.
It's like having the night off.
Yeah, and John's just holding the chair down at this point. So
I'm here in case there's any dead air, but I'm not sure that's a problem tonight. Can I just make a quick comment? I think the acceleration in our understanding of channeling is well represented by the difference between the movie The Secret and the movie that you talked about, Alan, last week, Tuning In. The Secret was entirely based on channeled material, but the people who produced it felt that the world wasn't quite ready to think about it that way, and so they deliberately hid that fact.
They kept it a secret.
That's the real secret of The Secret, is that it's all channeled source, right?
Yeah, that was The Secret, all right.
But here's the funny thing. We've got this new movie out now called Tuning In, which is all about channeling straight up. So I think, and we're talking about a time frame of like a couple of years there. So I think we're in the middle of a sea change in terms of people's willingness to, and openness to this phenomenon.
Sure. So well, John, just to add to that.
Go ahead, Alan.
Just to add to that, I think the interesting thing about that movie is that the message is delivered through a series of conversations with six different channels and interwoven together so that you're hearing all the six on any one theme, just like they're finishing each other's sentence. And the analogy that came to my mind was this is similar to aspects. It's like we're listening not just to one aspect of our awareness, but we're listening, let's say, to six aspects of our awareness, and it may have a greater impact that way. And but anyway, that's my take on that particular production, and I agree with you, John.
Mm. Are there any comments from Skype world?
Well, there's a lot of people following this, and an awful lot of people picking up on some of the ideas, like the healthy type of dissociation. Lisa's and Bonnie have been posting some quotes they've picked up as they thought were particularly significant. So, yeah, there's a lot of things going on in the background while we're trying to, keep things going here.
At least the beehive's busy.
Oh, yes, yes.
Well, I've got a question for Paul, if he's amenable.
Sure.
When I first started tuning into channeled material, basically, Seth was the only game in town, or at least the only one that was in my corner bookstore. We've come up with Elias and Abraham and Chris and
Bashar and
on and on and on it goes. Here's my question. Are we all ultimately going to channel?
Well, this is the central thesis of the research that I'm doing. If it's indeed a developmental intelligence, just as we all speak, we can all do math, we all have ways of dealing emotionally with the world, et cetera, we all have this innate intelligence. So my intuition, my deep intuition on this is that it's an innate ability that's hardwired into the biology of our brains, our bodies, our hearts, and minds. However, there are larger social issues involved, and I'm also working on a Seth book, by the way, and so I'm doing a lot of research on the Seth material, and he does a big developmental view of human consciousness, meaning the type of consciousness we've chosen and the path it's taken over the last 10,000, 20,000 years has resulted in this extreme separation and this high pushing of the cognitive line or cognitive intellectual abilities to the point where now in the last 400 years, with the rise of science, we've kind of dissociated from all these subjective, emotional, feminine aspects. We're way out of balance. We all in this community know this. So these are part of the great repression barriers that are there and problems that we have to overcome. So how to reintegrate this intelligence, which has a feminine connotation to it, And think about it. Most of the public channels out there that are making a living of some sort or involved are women right now. And the majority of them channel masculine energies because we're still heavily reliant on the masculine. We're starting to see some feminine entities come out like Dafrina and Rose and even April Crawford. And I forget her channeled essence's name, but it's... Now we're starting to get some feminine energies coming out. So there's a long Sumathi answer, John.
No, that's great.
If I could actually jump in and comment on that too, is that when we think of channeling, we think that, okay, somebody goes to sleep or into trance and another personality comes through and brings forth higher intelligence. But channeling has so many various levels that you could be getting, as Serge does, and I know Joanne and Rose do this too, this synergy where they have conversations in their head back and forth. So they have this, it's not this, okay, Serge leaves the room, so to speak, and goes in this. So to answer your question, I do believe that in the future, people will have access to this higher intelligence, even though they may not speak in a different voice as a different personality.
Very good.
They will have that access to that wisdom.
That's a very good point, Mark. And part of the map, the integral map that we have then is we have a spectrum of types then of channeling, of this channeled intelligence. This is where the types dimension fits in the integral research. So on the extreme end, we have extreme dissociation. And to the small number of channels that I know, Mary Ennis, who channels Elias, is the most extreme example of completely stepping aside and having no memory, no dreams, no conversations, no nothing. So that's on one end. And on the other end are conscious channels like Joanne and Esther Hicks, who does Abraham. So they are able to, and then Serge, who's on the dissociated side, secondary side, but through dreams and other altered reverie states, can engage conversations to some degree or get concept threads, concept idea atmospheres and whatnot, you know, and communicate symbolically that way. So these are all things that the research I'm talking about needs to accrue in the database and to help educate the public so that they don't think they're going crazy, and it encourages them to continue to practice, because part of this is you've got to practice this. We're not all born a Beethoven or a Jimi Hendrix, where we're just a natural virtuoso. And, you know, it's a skill like any intelligence. The more you practice it and do it, it hones and refines.
She has a question.
Come on in, Tiff.
Yeah. Ask a question. You'll have to speak louder.
Okay. Hi, it's TJ, and I just wanted to say, when you're speaking about channeling, and I don't know if I'm understanding this correctly, but what's coming to my mind is, for instance, artists and the whole idea of muses, and when people journal, and often I know for years when I would journal, it would be as though there was a higher wisdom coming forth, and yet it felt very much like me, and I was very co-conscious with it. Same thing when writing. And sometimes if I'm in the park, I'll be walking along and I will say, well, Taylor, what do you think about that? What would be your answer to that? And then I will just let go and see what comes. And I think in that way, I've heard channeling being called multidimensional consciousness, which is simply a consciousness of different dimensions. And I think the more that we practice it, the more we normalize it, the more we will tap into all kinds of aspects of ourselves in a co-conscious way.
You're right on, TJ. That what you just talked about in your own personal experience is what John Klimo would call open channeling, and it's in our type of conscious or aware channeling, and we all do that to some degree, and the muses are aspect harmonics or imagery of that have been personified, perhaps. But this is something in my own experience too, happens all the time when I write, sometimes even when I talk. You kind of dissociate a little bit, but you get in this flow, and you listen to a tape later or read what you wrote, and it's like, that's not me. That's much smarter than me. So I'm allowing something to come through. Being a musician, I'm very familiar with that impulse, that creative impulse. And, you know, Jimi Hendrix, you watch these guys jamming on their on their instruments or singers singing, they're channeling too. So this is another way that fits in. But the problem too, just one other comment, we don't want to get so loose with our definition of channeling that everything is channeling. There is a, you know, we do need to keep boundaries on it.
Absolutely. I'm wondering what your comments would be about a 72-year-old friend that I have who for years felt that she couldn't speak openly or directly just of her own self, in terms of she just didn't have confidence in her ability to articulate or to speak about deeper topics. And every once in a while, she will. I'll be very interested to see what her comment is on whatever's going on in my life, because this most incredible wisdom will just pour forth from her mouth sometimes. And then she'll say, "Oh, what am I saying?" And she'll stop herself in the middle of her sentence, saying, "What was I saying?" Or, "Does this make sense?" What is that type of phenomenon, do you think?
I would just generically put that in the open channeling category for now. And, you know, this is why we need more research to see where, you know, where there's authentic things going on and other things that aren't quite fitting in that way. But, you know, we're all creative. The creative impulse is in the consciousness units that form all that is. So all the consciousness units channel, so to speak, and enable channeling at the human level as well. So it's sort of inherent in the very stuff of what Chris calls level one, or the physical world.
We are also in agreement, simply because the definitions of human personality structure have been rather constrained for a very long amount of your time, hundreds of years, as if you could only function within a very narrow bandwidth, and if you attempted to stray from that bandwidth, you risked annihilation, as if somehow or other you sailed your boat over the horizon, you would fall off the edge of the world. So, in certain terms, in terms of consciousness, you are just moving out of flat earth terminology. Does that make sense to you?
Oh, yes.
You
right
are discovering on. That it is not a flat planet.
We're on the backs of turtles now.
Turtles all the way down. Yeah. No, we're opening to multidimensional personality and aspect psychology is, you know, Jane Roberts' wonderful theoretical framework that you guys are expanding on. And it's very exciting just to see a small group doing serious work like that. So just want to throw my support your way.
Indeed. Now, we believe it is time for your second little pause.
Well, already.
Indeed.
Okay.
Boy. Okay.
Thank you.
Welcome back to Reality by Design, a Chris Media production here on thatchannel.com. I'm enjoying this night.
Yeah, we're getting some interesting... Well, that's what it's all about, eh? How are you guys doing out there in Skype land?
Well, you wanted broader perspective. I don't know where you go from here.
Well, I believe Chris...
As the comments grow, we believe it is to infinity and beyond.
Yes, there you go.
Yes, Mr. Lightyear.
Yeah. Buzz off.
I do have a question for Chris, if I may. It's appropriate here because it's been several years since I've been able to participate in the international sessions with any regularity and keep up with all the information coming out in the Chris Chronicles. And during the Monkey Lucian phase, I believe that was 2005, 2006, Chris introduced these states that he called Sama and Rapa and mentioned that they were negative frequencies relative to our system or way of thinking. And so those are in addition to the beta, gamma, alpha, theta, delta that our scientists, those five states that we deal with and deal with brain mapping. So, and Chris, you've also mentioned an Unruh state, and I've known you've mentioned several other states. So I know this is a big topic, and you may not be able to answer this today, but I would entreat you to speak further about all of these states in some way to show how they relate to each other, which in turn would help someone like me in the modeling that I use this kind of information as another data point, sort of like on the Vulcan chessboard, as it were, from Star Trek, to help model channeling and how it's functioning in the brain.
Indeed, Dan, we believe it begins with a nanu nanu. Now, in all seriousness, human beings utilize numbers of inherent trance states interwoven into their personality characteristics. For a very large amount of time, you have learned to ride these states as a surfer would ride waves, but ever so carefully, in such a manner that more or less you never get your feet completely wet. Now, in these last 115 to 200 years, with the advent of spiritualism and other movements, and the breakthrough that came about in the late 80s with your harmonic convergence and then seemingly proliferation of channeling and channelers, and the progresses since then, you are now learning to dip your toes a little further into the wetness of the waves. And as we, with the Consciousness Mentoring Institute, as we work with individuals in the creation of various trance states, whether it is Unruh or others, the idea is to create synergy, create a weaving together of that which already exists in such a manner that it does not overwhelm the individual, but instead provides a threshold to deeper and further understanding about both human and spiritual characteristics, about the true constitutionality of consciousness. Thus, by creating a harmony instead of a cacophony, you are able to enjoy the experience. If, for instance, you have all the various musicians in the orchestra pit sitting anywhere and everywhere, each deciding to play their instrument in any which way. You will get sound, but will it be something that entrances you and enchants you? Indeed not. So you have a conductor that insists that the strings are together, the wind instruments, the percussion instruments, and then the conductor uses the baton to weave the sounds together as the musicians respond to the baton. Does that make sense so far?
Sure. Sure.
Then you have an enjoyable experience where not only the musicians enjoy themselves, but the audience can enjoy listening, and in the listening, entrance the musicians to perform beyond their own imagined capacities, but in such a manner that it makes a kind of sense in that way. Do you follow?
Yes.
So in many respects, what you are all learning to do over these last 200 or so years is to become your own conductor. You are not listening to the man in the pulpit tell you what is right or wrong. You are learning to recognize that you have an inner maestro. And you are putting your instruments in order, and you are discovering that you make beautiful music. Because music is what you are. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And is that appropriate as an analogy?
Absolutely, yes.
Now, perhaps
you know,
at another time,
and make it sorry.
Perhaps at another time, this can be further expanded. But for the moment, we believe it at least gives you an opening.
Yes, it does. Thank you.
Go ahead, Alan.
Well, I wanted to make sure I got a word in here from a post that Barbara made, and I think it's a really great comment, and I'll quote it verbatim. She said, "I have also been thinking lately of how to bring channeling phenomena closer to people and finding the right words and descriptions besides energy, essence, personality. Paul's works in Integral Conscious Creation help me to get different perspective on how to introduce channeled material to others."
Hmm. Very nice.
That's part of the outcome, part of the intent of the work. Help legitimize the phenomenon, make it less in the closet. There's an interesting analogy to the gay and lesbian community in our own channeling community. We're very much in the closet, and this has to deal with the fear of rejection and misunderstanding and new age woo-woo and all that nonsense. And having some scientific respectability will go a long way to helping those of us come out who are still in the closet to come out and publicly, proudly say, this is who I am, this is what I do, and here's the way to do it.
Indeed, and why is there never old age woo-woo?
There's quite a bit of old age woo-woo, actually.
Yeah. Okay, 5 minutes left. Any final comments, Chris?
Well, although there's no closets left in our crowd, I can tell you that right now.
Indeed. And no specific comments from our end, excepting that we are deeply appreciative of the kinds of works that are in progress. And they may even continue as human evolution reaches newer heights. Mm. And for that, we are very thankful.
Thank you.
Well, we're thankful for the part you are playing in that.
Indeed.
How about you, Paul? Anything to wrap up?
The only thought, if anybody's interested in the details, I know that I sent some links to Serge and Alan, but a shortcut way to it, if you can't find them, is just to go to New World View, and in the horizontal navigation bar in the library under Integral, go to the library and then Integral. You'll see the PowerPoint presentation and then audio in all kinds of different formats, real audio, Windows, and MP3, to listen to the presentation of that information. So it might even stimulate further ideas in the group and some ways to digest some of this and translate it into your own interests and your own work.
And those links have been posted on the Reality by Design chat on Skype tonight.
And in the New World View brain mapping forum and in the discussion. How about you, Alan? Any last comments from you or the Skype people?
No, but I tell you, the Skype has been lit up like a Christmas tree tonight, and everybody's, I think, getting a whole lot out of this. I just wish I had time to throw a few more quotes into the mill.
Well, we may have to have Paul back again in 6 months for an update.
That would be wonderful.
Maybe we'll have to create a symposium.
There you go.
Okay, well, that's our time. Thank you very much, Paul. It's been a pleasure having you.
Thank you all for having me.
You're welcome. Thank you, Alan.
You bet.
And thank you to everybody in Skype and everybody that's out there listening and watching us. Have a good night, everybody.